On the 21st morning, 1:30, my father, who is 81 years of age, cardiologist, very well known in India, never one day sick in his life. He didn't even have a cold in his entire life. I can vouch for that. And one of the greatest human beings I've known, a saint. Never in my entire life had I ever seen him impatient or rude or unkind to anyone. He woke up at 1:30 in the morning, and he woke my mother up. He said, "Please hold my hands because I'm going to leave now." And he said that twice, "I'm leaving now." And then he closed his eyes, and he was gone. So, you know, in India they say the quality of your life reflects the quality of what happens in the end. And he lived the life of a saint and left like a saint as well. As Indian customs go, and I am the elder son, I have another brother, I was supposed to do the final rites, cremation, and before that I had to bathe him actually, and then I had to personally do the cremation. Next day I had to go and pick up the ashes and take them up north in a place called Haridwar, which is translated as the doorway to God. And that's where you immerse the ashes in the Ganges. Now, you might think that this might have been a kind of a difficult thing to do, but actually it was the most blissful experience I've ever had in my life. Even in the deepest of meditations, I have not transcended as when I was going through the cremation and the bathing and the rituals and the immersion of the ashes. And I could feel his presence all the time now. In Haridwar, very interesting, my family priest was there, the ancestral priest. And the ancestral priest keeps records of who has come there. And people come there on joyous occasions mostly. This is also considered a joyous occasion when a person consciously leaves their body. So they keep records of that. So he actually made me look at the records of when my grandfather had come in 1906, first time. And then the second time my grandfather had come in 1917. And he writes in English. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm here now with my lovely and beautiful wife, and I'm having a great time at this beautiful sacred pool. I've just returned from the First World War in Baghdad for fighting for the British Army. I'm really lucky to be alive, and I'm very grateful to God for that. Then there's an entry in 1922, and the entry says, "I am here with my little child," and the child is, of course, my father, who is 4 years of age, and he says, "I've decided to nickname him Togu after the great Indian poet Tagore." And then there are entries 58, and of course I wrote my entry there, why I was there, and I wrote a letter to my children and their yet unmanifest children and theirs, saying that one day you'll be here too, and you'll perhaps feel a little bit of the presence of the spirit of an ancestor. But then I told the priest, the family priest, the ancestral priest, I said, "How far can you go back?" And he said, "How far do you want me to go back?" So I said, "Go back one generation after my grandfather." So there's an entry somewhere in the 1880s of his father, but now it's in Persian because the Mughals were ruling India at that time. And then there's another entry, my grandfather's grandfather, in his handwriting, again in Persian. And then we went back 20 generations. You know, and the writing first is in ink and quills, and then it changes, the language changes from English to Persian to Hindi to Sanskrit, and then the writing is on tree barks and papyri. And he said, "If you want, I'll take you back to before Christ, your ancestors." And they're all here, and there's a saying out there, you know, in this place. It says, "Generations come and go like breezes, but here you will feel the fragrance of your ancestors." So it put things in context for me. And it was a really, really beautiful experience. I wanted to share that with you. And so Shakti was upstairs.